and welcome back to the Prescott Arts Beat. This is your host, Andrew Johnson Schmidt. As you know, a former host of the show, JT Tanous, has managed to get to a phone from his undisclosed location or barely disclosed location and is talking to us about other arts communities in northern Arizona and comparing them to Prescott. So let's go back to our interview with JT. Given what you were just talking about, art, tends to come out of established cultures. How would you compare the way that the cultures come together to support the arts or to even bring arts to each other between Prescott and where you are now?
How do you mean?
You've worked in Prescott, and there is a little cultural diversity in Prescott. Where you're at right now is, I would assume, there could only be greater cultural diversity than Prescott. And how does that impact the arts?
Well, there's just a lot going on here. And I actually, when I left Prescott, I really thought that the arts community was just a major vein within the community. Flagstaff, I'm beginning to think, might even be more so. There's just so many different artists here working. There's so many different performers and those working within the field of either the arts or the sciences. That's kind of a big part of it right there. The sciences are big here. We have Lowell Observatory. There's the Geological Survey up here. There's just so many different things going on between the museum and Northern Arizona. There's a great arboretum. So the sciences really tie in with what's happening in the arts. And as a result of that, you get a lot of public programs where scientific institutions and art institutions are working together. So you see some stretching in terms of what organizations do to try to collaborate with programs that focus completely out of their own realm. And then there's a whole other flip side to it. And, there's really no way to put it. I'll just kind of use island talk here. There's a group in town that we call the Others. And it's really, they're kind of an odd group. For a significant portion of the year, they're very prevalent in our universe here. They're around all the time. You sort of can't miss them, all pervasive. And then other times of the year, they just disappear altogether. It's very mysterious, but we call them the Others. And they go to the university, I guess is what they call it here. That culture of having a major university in town really has a pretty solid impact on what happens within the arts and culture community, because there's a real atmosphere of learning that is a part of it, and there's I don't know how to exactly describe it, but There's just a different level of sort of intellectual pursuit of the arts in terms of having overall interest in arts community-wide and what they mean to Flagstaff. And so in that respect, with those two factors, I would say there's a significant amount of diversity, at least in comparison to Prescott. But I think at the same time, you have to be aware that we are in this bubble of Northern Arizona. And in that regard, diversity means something completely different here than it does in most parts of the country.
Or even the southern part of the state.
Very true. Very true. But, and we have a lot of diversity in the fact that we're a border town, not to the Mexico border, but to the Navajo Nation and the Hopi Nation.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping you weren't talking about Winslow, because I was like, maybe that makes you a border town, but it's not much of a border.
Well, since we put up the 20-foot high wall, We haven't had a problem with that. So.
Well, do you see dialogue happening back and forth across that border, you know, in the cultures, or do they tend to do the Navajo, the Hopi, and the townies, if you will, of the mainstream culture, do they keep fairly separate from each other?
It's not happening as much as it needs to happen. And I think the whole issue that arose with Snowball and the snowmaking thing really, you know, as much as that caused a firestorm, I think it was more indicative of the fact that those conversations aren't happening enough.
I was just going to jump in here and say, for the people who are listening to this that aren't familiar with that firestorm of controversy, can you just quickly sketch that out?
Yeah, you know, there's a ski resort up here, Snowball, and for many, many years it's been a major tourist draw in the winter. In fact, probably the only tourist draw in the winter because, you know, it's so darn cold up here. What are you going to do but snow ski? With the way the weather's changing, they're getting less and less snow each and every year. So they've made a push to do snowmaking. And they're going to use, they want to use effluent wastewater, you know, basically the water that sort of comes out of your washing machines and dryers and whatnot, sewage water that's been treated. They want to use that to make snow for the mountain. The mountain is considered sacred by the Hopi, by the Navajo, and by many other Native American tribes in the Southwest. And for environmentalists, of course, this particular issue is a major firestorm. So, you know, the whole town, I shouldn't say the whole town, but I should say your sort of typical areas of business focus, the Chamber of Commerce, even the city, you know, as much as I step forward and praise them for their role with arts and culture, there's also a role that they had in supporting this endeavor by Snowball. And it really upset the Native community. So there's this big divide that happened here. And as I said, I think it's more indicative of the fact that the conversations between the communities of sort of being on the edge of the reservation here aren't happening enough. They happen in pockets. Institutionally, it happens, you know. Northern Arizona University, they'll have different departments or different areas where many of these conversations are taking place. You might see things like that happen at the Museum of Northern Arizona, certainly at the Center for the Arts. We, in fact, back in July, we had a forum where we brought together Native American leaders and discussed some of the issues that are facing Native Americans in the Flagstaff community. Some of those conversations are happening, but probably not enough on a community-wide level to have the type of impact you would like to see for a border town.
Gotcha. Well, you know, just for old time's sake, before, you know, they find that you've reached a phone and they drag you away from it with pitchforks. See, that was unfortunate for you when that barrel of pitchforks washed up there on the island. What would you say that we do some Andrew's five big questions?
Oh, wow. Well, that would certainly bring back the memories. Huh, you know, boy, that was back when I had all 10 toes.
True.
Yeah, I'm certainly up for that.
All right, I'm just going right off the top of my head here.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Now, Jake...
You still haven't come up with theme music for Andrew's Five Big Questions.
You don't know. You'll have to listen to the show. If at all they're able to, you know, if there's a cable coming out of the water, follow the cable inland till you get to high-speed internet.
All right. Okay. You know what? When Henry Rollins comes to town, I'm going to ask him if he'll create a little jingle for you.
He should. Okay. So I just want to point out here, the JT, practically every week we have people who've escaped from Prescott and are living on island somewhere, call in and just give us their spiel about where they're at and compare it to Prescott. And frankly, JT, statistically speaking, not all of them can be as cool as you.
Yeah, there is that going on. I understand.
So in all fairness, we have had people in white lab coats develop Andrew's five big questions. Five innocent-sounding questions that, when answered right off the top of your head, lay bare your soul, all of it, and let our listeners know, hey, do I go visit that island there, or do I stay home for the Knight Rider Marathon?
Yeah, folks, just stay home and watch Knight Rider, really. The pitchforks here are intense. There, are we done? Do I need to answer the questions
now? No, we're not done. We're not done.
Oh, okay.
Okay. First question, JT, in your new life on the island, what has been your tribal name given to you?
Well, fortunately for me, I had a tribal name that I've carried with me for quite some time, and that's Negruk.
That's obvious.
The long version of the name is Negruk the Obvious, which means I have a knack for stating the obvious. Sort of like the joke I pulled out earlier. You know, it was the obvious joke I went with it. So I've definitely been named Negruk the Obvious. And unfortunately, they had to tattoo that in four different areas.
Okay, good. Question number two. What goes with poi?
What goes with poi? Boy, thank God you didn't ask me what four areas. What goes with poi? Boy, you know, and in fact, I lived in Hawaii for a year, and I hated poi.
Starch?
Starch is okay in my book, just not the poi version of starch. Good God. You know, the only way I ever remember eating poi that was good was they made a version of it that was kind of sweetened, and it was sort of like its own little pudding paste. And I remember eating that, but I ate it by itself, just with a spoon. So what goes good with poi? A little bit of sugar and a spoon.
All right. Question number three. When you have your own bluegrass band, what will it be called?
The ass-slapping Hurleys.
Of course. Question number four. Who has cuter girls, Prescott or Flagstaff?
That's the slam dunk question of the show. Sorry, Prescott. Flagstaff, hands down. That not just goes for the girls, but for the women, young, old, across the board. Sorry.
The Bachelor has spoken.
With the exception of one bright shining jewel down in Prescott Valley by the name of Riley, she is the pashizzle.
In all honesty and without any sense of bias, yes, good. Okay.
No.
Last question. Question number five. The double jeopardy question.
Yes, of course.
All right, JT. Arts funding in Coconino County. Funny or not funny?
Well, let me just set the scene for you before I answer that question. Unfortunately, someone heard me here on the island. And I'm sitting out on the beach right now. It's dark, of course. There's a bonfire going. And all of the locals have creeped up around me. And, of course, I've been forced to put you on speakerphone so they could hear what you're saying. And I literally have 200 various and sundry tribal members around me, you know, dressed only in hula skirts and loincloths. And carrying pitchforks that are pointed right now at, basically my entire body, head to feet. And I think they're waiting for me to answer this question. And if I answer good, then I think I'll be able to eat dinner tonight. If I answer poorly, then I think I am dinner tonight.
And the answer is?
Boy, arts funding in Coconino County. It's, oh crap. I'm sweating here. I'm scared to death. I'm going to say it's funny because when I realized just how great this community is for that and that level of support, I couldn't do anything but laugh. Ow! Ow! Stop it! Ow!
Well, let's give some comparison here. What do you know? Any numbers?
Sure, I can talk numbers. Well, now I can't speak totally for Coconino County, but I can say that that they don't have as much money to burn as a lot of other counties in the state do, and yet they still make significant contributions to both social services and arts and culture in the community. They outright donate the use of the Coconino Center for the Arts, which has been estimated about $150,000 a year to the arts and culture community. And on top of that, they give tens of thousands more, probably hundreds of thousands more, but I don't know the number there.
Well, can you compare
Flagstaff?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, can you compare Flag with Prescott?
Well, the city of Flagstaff right now is giving $300,000 in the current fiscal year to arts and culture institutions, and that's just the grant program. They also have a public art program that they conduct and various other activities that sort of roll into the arts and culture realm. I don't have figures on that, but I know that the direct contribution is $300,000.
And how does that compare to Prescott?
Prescott, when I left, was hovering between $20,000 and $30,000 per year that was supposed to be divvied up to all the arts organizations throughout Prescott. So everyone kind of got a little piece of the cracker.
JT?
Yeah.
I didn't get a piece of the cracker.
You didn't get a piece of the cracker?
No. No.
Did any crumbs fall your way?
Yes, I broke into one arts organization's offices and stole some office supplies because indirectly then the city is funding, you know, radio in Prescott.
Ah, well, make sure you slap that city logo on all of your programs.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. There we go. Well, JT, I want to thank you for braving the ire of your fellow Islanders and giving us a call and cluing us in on some differences in Northern Arizona arts.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure. I've enjoyed the opportunity to sort of reconnect with the world out there again. But quite frankly, with the level of support for arts and culture, the wonderful place that I get to work, and the fact that, as we talked before about the hotness and cutie factor that's going on, I think I'm going to get out of here and go frolic amongst the others.
Go, little friend, frolic.
No, really, seriously, I'm in Flagstaff. I'm only 90 minutes away. I drive back and forth to Prescott all the time. I'm not on an island, okay? I've been lying this whole time.
And that's the JT we know and love.
True.
Very cool. Well, thank you for coming on.
The show continues to strive for its high level of journalistic integrity and high quality in my absence. I applaud you for work well done.
Well, thank you. And we'll talk to you later, sir.
Take care, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, folks. We'll catch you next week. Have no idea who the guest is going to be, but I'm sure it'll be someone fun and exciting. And remember, until then, Prescott Arts, that's our beat.